Good morning. Welcome to worship at 10:30. We all got an extra hour of sleep because we didn't have an 8:15 service this morning. Kind of a joy. In the way of announcements this morning, the exercise class for tomorrow morning is canceled due to the Berks County calling the leader to jury duty. At our house, we've been praying for snow so that they might cancel, but, you know, everybody loves jury duty, right? Yes. If you're not aware, there is a luncheon downstairs after the service. We will be introducing new members, and we'll be having a fun time of fellowship, and we get to pass the desserts. I guess attached with that one is directly following the worship service today. We're going to be going downstairs kind of as quickly as you can to get downstairs and organize ourselves for the meal, sit around the tables. And John David has a cold today, so he will be sharing with us in the sermon, but he would rather not share the germs that he has. So he's not planning to be back there to shake your hands. If you really want to shake his hand, you can seek him out downstairs. Fair enough. I don't know what he's going to do to prevent the germs from spreading. I think that's it. Is anyone else aware of announcements? Pam has one.
The Women's Fellowship would like me to announce that tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., they'll be making Easter candy, and everyone is invited to come and help make it.
I want to highlight an announcement that's in the bulletin. It's particularly for people that are in the healthcare field or are nurses. Adventist Whole Health Network came to our leadership team meeting the other week and presented information on a parish nursing program that they are trying to start in this area, in our area. And so they asked us for permission to use our church as a location to hold the training sessions and also to hold a breakfast to kind of explain to people what parish nursing is all about. The breakfast is on March 25th here at Little Swatara in the morning. There's more information back on the table in the narthex on the breakfast. They want the RSVPs by March 21st. So if you're interested as a nurse and thinking about that this might be your calling in ministry to be a part of the parish nursing program, please sign up. The other part of it is they will have a two-weekend training, that goes on here, which you do get continuing education credits for. There is a charge for the program, but it's a charge that will partially be picked up through the hospital and also parts of it that you have to pay. There's brochures in the back about it, so please pick them up, and I hope that people will show an interest in this program.
Thanks, Pam.
John?
Yes. Wow. Today is Esther Yenser's 91st birthday. And if we would, let's please sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Esther. Happy birthday. John David's not making an escape. He's simply getting a bulletin. Well, we hope anyway. Welcome back. We missed you. It is a joy to be together for fellowship. Is there, for this time of worship, another prayer concern or announcement?
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk to me about a night that will work for you. For me, to be the leader, it's going to have to be in the evening. So let me know a night or an evening. and it's for men and women, so I hope you guys join us. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeremy. All right, now I guess we'll move into sharing of joys and concerns. Does anyone have joys or concerns to share?
Last week I asked for prayers for Jenna for her back. She did see the doctor this past week, and they determined that she probably has something wrong with her disc. Or something like that. She's going for MRI this week, so please continue to keep her in the prayers.
Thank you.
I would like to ask for prayers for my cousin Troy Bender. He was in an accident and he is in the ICU trauma triage.
What is his name again?
Troy Bender.
Troy, okay.
Some of you know and some of you don't. Ralph Warner had a heart attack on Monday. He had a heart catheterization with one stent put in on Tuesday. He came home on Thursday. And in his own words, he's not too zippy yet.
All right, thank you. We will, I'm on page two already, moving ahead. We'll go into hymn number 322.
Thank you.
Please join me in the call to faith. You are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Shall we be seated or stay standing? We'll stay standing. 307. Join me in this time of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the sunshine that is here. Thank you for the time for the snow to begin to melt, for the flowers to start to peek out again. We thank you for the joy of seeing the signs of spring. Lord, you know that we have many joys, many concerns. We thank you for the great joys, and we thank you for being with us through those times that are very hard. We pray that you will be close and present to the people who are suffering, and be with their families also, and hold them close to you. Lord, we pray that you would be with us in this time of worship, that you would hear the praises that we share, that you would be close to us and help us to feel your presence as we come to be with you, to spend this time with you. Pray that you would guide our hearts, guide our minds, that we would be present in worship, that we would be able to fellowship with you in this time before our fellowship luncheon. We pray that you would work in your church, that you would remove the blemishes from your bride before you come to meet your bride. Lord, we pray that you would be with Pastor John David as he's delivering his message today, that you would guide his words, that you would speak through him and speak to each of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm not used to these new gadgets. It's not in your bulletin, but I'd like to have some time with the children. So if there are children here this morning and you have your bank, would you please come up with your bank? We have a big basket to put our banks in. Come right on up. Lots of room yet. Lots of room in the basket. You want to put your bank in, Aiden? Thank you. Whoa. It's filling up. Any more children? Well, this morning I'd like to talk to you, and you're all facing the other way. I think I'll come down a step. Look around each other. Are you unique in any way? No. You know what unique means? It means to be a little different. It just belongs to you. Like, well, for an example, Jack's not married, so I think I'm the only married person here. That's unique. Any of you married? No, so I would be unique. Does anybody have a birthday today? No? Think about what would make you different than anybody else here today. Do you have a different color eyes? Yes? Jacob has very dark brown eyes. Nate's are kind of more gray. Blue. But Chad's are blue too. So you're not very different from anybody else up here this morning. Let's see. The girls are wearing dresses. That makes them unique from the boys. They're a little different with their dresses. Well, all things about us make us a little bit special. What's special about your family? What's different about your family? And no real secrets here. What makes your family your family? What's unique about your family? Are your families all alike?
No.
No? Aiden, do you have a sister? Well, that wouldn't be unique because Chad has a sister. But you don't have a sister, right? So your family would be kind of unique. You have two boys. I thought if Graham came up this morning, I was going to say Graham's family is unique. You know, little Graham comes up sometimes. He has four adults in his family. Do you have four adults in your family? I was looking for Kyle, too, because Kyle would be very unique. Who did we sing happy birthday to? We sang happy birthday to Kyle's great-grandmother. I don't think many of us have great-grandmothers here today, so that would make Kyle's family pretty. You do. You have a great-grandmother. All right, so you would be unique. Your family is kind of unique. Well, do you ever go camping? Yeah, we don't. Our family would be kind of unique. We never go camping. Not anymore. No. No. Well, these are all things that we love about our families. We love having our great-grandmothers around. We love going camping. So, what do we do for our families if we love them? If we love each other, how can we express our love? Jacob?
Doing the right thing.
By doing the right thing? What could some of those things be? Do you ever help to feed the dog?
I don't have a dog.
You don't have a dog. Well, your family is unique. It's probably the only family here that doesn't have a dog.
Not true. We don't have a dog.
Oh, Jack doesn't have a dog. Well, do you ever help with the laundry?
Yes, sometimes.
Sometimes?
Yes.
Do you pick up your own clothing?
If I have to.
If you have to. We're talking about things that we love to do for our families. If we love our families, we like to help. Now, I kind of had a little family this morning in Sunday school, and my Sunday school children are here, and they were very quick to help me this morning. And that's the kind of thing we do for families because we love our families. This morning, maybe you helped to get breakfast so you could get here for church. Because we love our families. All right. What ways are all of us in this room alike? Nate?
There's three fans on each side.
There's three fans, okay. Three fans on each side. Well, what way are the people like us? What way are we like the people sitting out there? Chad?
We're all part of the congregation.
We're all part of this congregation, right? What else might we do that they do out here? Do they sing?
Yes.
Do we sing?
Yes.
Do you think they pray out here?
Yes.
Do we pray?
Yes.
Yeah, we're kind of alike in that way. Any other ways that we would be alike? We all worship. Who do we all worship?
God.
We all worship God. So we're kind of one big family here. We call our church family. We're kind of one big family. And big families, small families, all families help each other. Did you do anything this morning at all to help somebody? I know you did. I know my Sunday school class did. Okay, Jack, we're going to shift gears here. Pictures. Jack, I asked Jack to help me this morning. I have some pictures here. And I'd just like you to look at the pictures and see what's on these pictures, who these people are. Think about these. These are all pictures with children on. Think about all these children on here. And Jack, the two little bottles without the lids. Now, do you know anything about these children?
No.
No, we may not know where they live. We may not know what their lives are like. But I'm going to ask Chad to hold one of these and the little bottles. And I'm going to ask Jacob to hold one. I'll take the picture and you hold the bottle, please. Thank you. Chad's going to hold the blue bottle, and the blue bottle is going to represent the children on here. So what do you see in this picture that might be different from us? Take one picture and see what might be different. What do you see, Nate? Do you see something, Jason, where the children might be different than we are? Well, they have different tables, but how about their appearance? Do they look like we look? Tori, what's different? How about their skin? Do you have a picture of somebody that has white skin or dark skin? They have darker skin, so they would be different. They have darker skin. All right, what color skin do we have?
Lighter skin.
Lighter skin. We have lighter skin. What else might be different? Where are they playing? Can you see where any of them are playing?
Inside.
They're playing inside, but Nate has a picture here where they're playing inside. The building is kind of falling down on some of the buildings. They're playing inside. All right, look at this guy. How about his face? He is really happy. Are we always happy?
No.
No, well, let's see. He's always happy. We're not always happy. he might have, where do you think he might live? Nate?
Like maybe in South Africa?
He could live in South Africa. Boy, that would be different. What would be different? Really warm and sunny, you think? Yeah. And we live where?
Pennsylvania,
where it's cold and snowy. So there's a lot of differences. You want to put those on lids on Jack? Thank you. You think they speak a different language? We could put colors in here for their language and our language. Okay? Now, what are some of the ways that you think we're alike? Nate?
We're all people.
Excuse me?
We're all people.
We're all people. We're all alike because we're all people. What other ways? There's a really good picture here that Nate has. What would this be like us? What are they playing?
They're playing Follow the Leader.
They're playing Follow the Leader. Do you ever play Follow the Leader?
Yeah, yes.
So that makes us alike. You think they all live in houses?
No.
No. Well, they probably all do, but not in houses like ours. So some are blue, some children, and it's a pretty blue. Some of us are yellow, and it's a real pretty yellow. Okay, Jack, you have another one? Now, what are some of the ways we're like? You just said that we all play. We all play. So I'm going to ask Chad to tip it in there and squirt one in. Okay. Let's try the yellow one. Send it back to Jack. Goes back to the Dollar Tree. Let's see. Nope, doesn't. Ah, whoa.
It's upside down. It's upside down.
That works. Turn it down. In. Okay. So we're all alike. We like to play. What other ways we might be alike? You all like to eat? You all like to eat. Okay, let's put some more in here. We all like to eat. These are not working real well. All right. What are some other ways we might be alike? Another one. Do we all worship God? Okay.
Don't hold it like that.
So we're alike in the same ways that we like to eat. We like to live in a house. We like to play. We all worship God. So that kind of makes us all one family. We're in God's family. Now we were yellow and we were blue, and this works much better than the squirt. Now, what do you think? Does that make us all alike? That makes us all like, all in one family. So if we're in God's family, we go back to what we can do to help each other. God loves us. We love our families. So that means we want to help each other. This morning, you brought your bank. Do you know where your bank money will go? It goes to help boys and girls. Like these boys and girls in our picture, some may not have clean water to drink, some may not have houses, they need roofs on their houses after storms, and all the coins that you brought to help your family that belongs to God, because we are all God's family. So now that you brought your money, we're going to challenge the adults to add their money, and we'll see if they can help us to serve in God's family, because God loves us all. Will you pray with me? Dear God, thank you for loving all of us the same, even though we are different in some ways. Help us to be like you. Help us to be one. Help us to know our family that lives far away. Help us to learn from them, that we can offer our help to them through this one great hour of sharing. We ask these blessings and favors in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming up and helping me to become one big family. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you. The scripture has, and particularly in the, it's found primarily in the Hebrew scriptures, but also found in the New Testament, a tradition called the wisdom tradition. You'll find it in Proverbs, you'll find it in Ecclesiastes, you'll find it in the book of Job, and you find it in the book of Ben Sirach. Now, some of you aren't familiar with Ben Sirach. In the Bible that Jesus had, the Bible has changed through the years. I know a lot of people aren't aware of this. In the Bible that Jesus had, it was called the Septuagint. And many of the New Testament quotes are from the Septuagint, not from the Hebrew scripture. The Septuagint is a Greek translation of the Hebrew scriptures. In there are about 7 books, maybe 14. I forget how many there are, but there are several books. And one of those is the book of Ben Sirach, which is very steeped in the wisdom tradition. It's also named in some Bibles as Ecclesiasticus, which is a twist on Ecclesiastes and Ecclesiasticus. Don't ask me the difference, I don't remember it. But the books are quite interesting to read because, well, you read Proverbs and you get one view, and you read Ecclesiastes and it's almost like it's radically different. You say, whoa, what's going on here? And the beauty of it is that when you begin to look at how the overlap and where they do connect, the guidance it gives for life is really rather remarkable. In this tradition, though, there is this concept of wisdom personified. We find that in the 3 readings today. I'm going to be reading first from the book of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." When God established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the human race. And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. That's from Proverbs. From Ben Sirach, we hear the same type of hymn about wisdom. In the assembly of the Most High, wisdom opens her mouth, and in the presence of the host, she tells her story. I came forth from the mouth of the Most High and covered the earth like a mist. I dwelt in the highest heavens, and my throne was in a pillar of cloud. Alone I compassed the vault of heaven and traversed the depths of the abyss, over waves of sea, over all the earth, and over every people and nation I held sway. Before the ages, in the beginning, he created me. For all the ages I shall not cease to be. In the holy tent I ministered before him, and so I was established in Zion. Like the vine, I bud forth delights, and my blossoms become glorious and abundant fruit. Come to me, all who desire, and eat your fill of my fruits. For the memory of me is sweeter than honey, and the possession of me is sweeter than the honeycomb. Now, the interesting thing to me is when it comes to the New Testament, John knew this hymn to wisdom. It's a woman, Sophia. But he does something absolutely fascinating. He says that in Jesus, wisdom became a living being. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world. And the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who receive him, who trust in his name, he gave the power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, or of the will of humanity, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. Now, there's one more poetic reading I have for you before I begin my sermon. Only this isn't exactly poetry, it's a song. Some of you may know the song. Try to listen carefully to the words and see if you can make them out. Let's see if our system works.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see our troubles are all. Everybody knows your name. Roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead. The morning's looking bright.
Morning's looking bright.
And your shrink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. And your husband wants to be a girl.
Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name. Everybody knows your name.
I'll just bet you can't guess what the title of the sermon is. So, have you ever had the feeling that something was missing? I mean, inside. I remember that feeling. It was as though there was a hole deep, deep in the soul. a vacuum which at times threatened to swallow me up. I guess I might call it a black hole in the human spirit. It's not the same thing as depression, exactly. It's not a simple matter of only being anxious or afraid or uncertain of the future. I'm speaking about something more fundamental to the human spirit. It's as though making your way in the world today takes everything you've got, and then some. Ken Hartman, a member of the Lancaster Church of the Brethren and until he died, often referred to the human race as FHBs. We're a bunch of FHBs. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Well, it does if you know he means fallible human beings. It's not just that we don't always act like we think we should. It's not just that we are imperfect. It's as though there's something missing deep within. The second chapter of Genesis suggests that this sense of something missing, this hole in the spirit, was poetically portrayed when Adam was cast into sleep and a part of Adam was taken and created a second person. Neither one whole and in need of the other. A little different than Ken's FHB, it's an attempt to deal with this lack of wholeness within us. The psalmist wrote, "I was silent and still. I held my peace to no avail. My distress grew worse. My heart became hot within me. While I mused, the fire burned, and then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, let me know my end, and what is the measure of my days? Let me know how fleeting my life is." The hunger of the human soul is deep. Now, it would be nice, wouldn't it, if all we had to do was believe in God and the hole would be filled, the vacuum satisfied, the fear and anxiety go away. Well, I know people who preach that, and some people who believe it, but personally, I think they live in Egypt, you know, the land of denial. While belief is part of the solution, it doesn't fully do it. Now, there are clues pointing to a richer and more satisfying solution which permeates the scripture. Psalm 39, "You desire truth in the inward being, and therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me." Or Psalm 6, "Thus says the Lord, stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way lies, and walk in it and find rest for your soul." So the Bible is basically saying it is a way of life. It is the way of wisdom, Sophia. In Greek, the word wisdom is Sophia. Wisdom, personified as feminine, expresses a quality of intimacy with God. She had a role in the creation of the world from the very beginning. When the Bible speaks about wisdom, it often uses the image of feasting at her banquet or following her way. She teaches humans how to be friends of God and how to find satisfying relationships with each other. It's that part of God's will for all creation which is intended to fill that void, to cool the flame and to satisfy the troubled heart and soul. Wisdom yearns for acceptance by people who are willing to be transformed by relationships. Sophia, wisdom, transforms us through friendships and through hospitality. Living in the United States is both blessing and curse, isn't it? I mean, one of the curses is that we have trivialized the notion of friendship. We call each other friends simply because we know a little about each other. Often it means little more than we don't regret seeing each other. Now, don't even get me started when it comes to issues of Facebook and other social media. Have you been friended lately? These are not the friendship of which Sophia, wisdom, wants to nurture among God's people. When we make light of friendship, we miss a most central point of the Gospel of John when the evangelist dips into the wisdom tradition to tell us that Christ Jesus is Sophia made flesh. The point is not some theory about pavement in heaven, nor the color of raiments worn by the risen Christ. It is really much more basic and down to earth. In the Gospel of John, John quotes Jesus as saying, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant doesn't know what the master is doing. But I've called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You didn't choose me, I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commandments so that you may love one another. Get the picture? The connection? Ever been climbing the walls when no one calls? Ever feel you've lost at love again, and the more you're down and out, the more you need a friend? When you long to hear a kind hello, Sophia in Jesus reaches out to bring us into an intimate relationship with God and each other. Now, I got to admit that to those of you who are extroverts, who get your energy from being with other people, this is great news. Oh, party time! But to those of us who get our energy by being alone or with a select few friends and feel drained every time we get with a crowd, it's close to hell. It's not very good news, to say the least. We introverts know that it is not easy to sustain friendship. It takes a lot out of us. Frankly, we need help. Jesus defines the kind of friendship that satisfies the human soul. It includes an intimacy with God and a willingness to be present for each other, even at the sacrifice of ourselves. We introverts need to hear that. To love as Jesus loved. This is no soft, sentimental journey. It's tough and demanding, but the gospel implies it is as satisfying as it is tough. Will we trust the gospel? I believe that this is why Jesus created the church, to be a community of intimate friends who were so determined to love one another that nothing would stop them. It's a far cry from what we see in most churches, though, but it's not impossible, and it is possible for us to experience it in this fellowship. Already, we have our moments. We rise to the occasion here. All Fellowship Sunday is one of the ways that we work at it. But even at Little Swatara, there are some who have said to me that they do not feel included, that they feel judged, and there are some who feel like second-class members. So we're not fully there yet, but we're on the way. We're on the way. And we can even get closer yet. Frankly, to most of us with overcrowded lives, it's difficult to think about what it means to be a friend, let alone to do what needs to be done to be a friend. Perhaps that's why Sophia took on human form in Jesus, to show us not only that it's possible to provide us with a community model in which we can create and cultivate this life-sustaining friendship where we help each other, where we become green together, Gene. It's as though Jesus knew that sometimes you just want to go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. It's perhaps the toughest job you'd ever love, to be part of a place where you do what you have to do to know each other's name, each other's burdens, each other's joys, to be part of a community of faith which intimately knows God, not simply about God, to be able to see that of God which is in each other, and to see it through the eyes of the Word made flesh, Sophia in Jesus, to stand by each other in average times and during periods of joy and celebration so that we can be present for one another in the times of grief, loneliness, pain, depression, or anxiety, to be less judgmental of each other's flaws and more forgiving of failures. So although it was written for a TV show centering around a bar, there is this song that conveys something of the challenge for you and me, creating a sustaining church. Perhaps through this song, the Spirit of God is inviting us to be the kind of place where not only everybody knows your name, but where we are willing to do the hard work to love as Jesus loved. As the author of the fourth gospel wrote, "The divine word and wisdom became flesh. We have beheld her glory in Jesus our Lord. It is a life that is a light to all humanity, shining in the darkness of our souls. All who embrace the way of Jesus are given the right to become sons and daughters of God." Listen to the refrain of this song again, not the whole song, just this little bit. If we're lucky, you'll see some images. And imagine what you could do. First of all, imagine what it would be like to be so loved and to so love. And then imagine what you can do, what next step you can take to help make this happen more fully. We're on the way. It's not like we're evil, mean, wicked, bad, and nasty. We're on the way. But there are things we don't always see that we can make better. After all, wasn't it Jesus who said, "By this everyone will know you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You wanna go where people know people are all the same. You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
You get the point.
Thank you. have gone on for a lot longer for me. But the service has gone a little long, I know. I'm sorry. Once they say old preachers don't die, they just go on and on and on. It is good to laugh together, to remember we belong to each other. We're turning green together, after all. Green in the fruitful green of God's good earth and good love for us all. God, help us be better family to each other. We need all the help we can get. But we have the resources right here, God's Holy Spirit and each other. And we can bear fruit. Ha! What an opportunity. May God bless you, each and every one. May God hold you in the palm of God's hand, granting you the strength you need to be the children He needs right here. Blessings to you all. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.